Nuketown Radioactive number 36 for Monday, August 14th, 2006. Welcome back to Nuketown Radioactive. I'm your host, Ken Newquist, and that was the theme to Stargate SG-1, which is actually one of my favorite science fiction series. It's not one I talk about a lot, although actually if you go and do a search on Nuketown, you'll find that I've written about it quite a lot. But, you know, it's one of those series that I really enjoy because it's got a good sense of humor. It's managed to keep itself fresh over the years. I mean, I know it's an acquired taste. Some people like their big gun battles, and, you know, they like a certain kind of perhaps more space opera-ic sci-fi, and some of the earlier Stargates had a tendency to be fairly low-tech kind of outings, but I think they did a really good job of working with what they had. The Stargate technology works well for getting people from point A to point B without all that, you know, tedious mucking around with hyperspace, and it's just a fun show that's run for a pretty darn long time. So, new episodes of it are airing now, and actually, I just found out by heading over to Sci-Fi's site that they are doing a viewer's choice poll right now, which is going to conclude August 21st, and all of the top picks are going to be included in a marathon on September 1st, which is pretty cool because I could definitely see, you know, spending Labor Day watching Stargate. So that's pretty cool. So, if you listen to Radioactive number 35, you know I'm recording this podcast the same night that I did 35, which, my goal here is to get ahead. And I'm fighting an urge, folks, and the urge is the all-nighter. In the golden days before I had kids, I used to pull about one all-nighter a month and get a huge amount of work done in the hours between sunup and sundown. And this was fantastic. I mean, I got so much work done with Nuketown. I mean, we're talking like in the late 90s and early aughts. I got to do so much stuff. And, you know, I would just sit back and code or write or just organize for hours on end. And there's something just awesome about being able to, you know, being up at 3 a.m. with no one but the crickets around, and, you know, the sound of my hands flying over the keyboard, and, you know, some old 80s metal playing. You know, it was just great. And when Jordan came, the frequency dropped, and I would only do it maybe a couple times a year. And now that Lucas is here, I haven't done it at all. Granted, it's only been 6 weeks, but, you know, the idea of pulling an all-nighter when you've got two kids, it's just a really dangerous thought. Because here's the thing, you stay up all night, you get all this stuff done, it feels so rewarding. And then the next day you're kind of dragging, but that's okay, right? Because you can get through the day with enough caffeine. But then the challenge when you've got kids is that next night. Because that next night, the one where you're counting on to get that great night's sleep, to catch up on what you lost from the all-nighter, that's the night when the kids stay up. And, you know, Jordan's up at 2 in the morning and doesn't go back to sleep until 5 because she doesn't feel well. And that's the night that Lucas starts crying at 1 and doesn't stop crying until 5. And then you've got the challenge, you know. Then you've got to figure out how to stay awake on only, say, 4 hours sleep out of 48. So that's, you know, that's something of a challenge. But, you know, still the appeal is there. And I know a couple of years ago I read an article about how the occasional all-nighter was actually good for you because it helped offset things like insomnia and depression, because basically you're kind of like resetting your internal clock. You know, you're kind of I don't know, fleshing out your REM sleep or whatever. I don't know, but I think it definitely works for me because I just feel this urge to stay up and, you know, just, you know, watch movies or more often just work. And I think it ultimately really helps me recharge my batteries because it gets me to just kind of reset the clock, get that good night's sleep, which, you know, you don't always get, and just, I don't know, recharge my batteries. What can I say? So, on other geeky thoughts, other than the all-nighter, which it's 11 o'clock right now, and I cannot stay up all night tonight, but oh, the temptation is there. I'm hoping to conclude this podcast by, let's see, probably about midnight, but I digress. And other geeky issues, I've got geek design, or rather geek interior design, or as I was thinking about it during the day, geek chic. And what I mean by that is Sue and I are upgrading our living room and library area. Basically, when you come into our house, there's a living room with a TV, Xbox, sofa, so forth. And then you go into the next room, and that's the library, where we have a huge shelf up against one wall that we custom built. Myself, my grandfather, and my father-in-law, and my brother-in-law. It's this great thing. It's awesome. It fills the entire room. It fills the entire wall of the room. It's packed with books. Each of us has our own third of the section. I've got a third. Sue's got a third. And eventually the kids will have a third. And it looks awesome. But the rest of the room, well, not so much. You know, we've got the old remnant rugs on the floor. We've got some nice furniture in there. But then we also have, you know, like the folding bench thingy that we got from IKEA, which is really functional because it's got the space in it where you can throw like hats and gloves and stuff, but it hasn't been stained or painted or anything like that. So, you know, we're looking at trying to make the whole place a little classier, make it feel like a place where, you know, maybe people in their 30s live rather than people who are in their 20s and we're really proud of gotten rid of all the milk crates, but just can't bring it among themselves to go out and get new carpeting. So, yeah, everything's looking kind of, you know, just needs an upgrade, right? So, thinking about how we want to go about doing this, and, you know, we already had one brainstorming session where she threw out her ideas and I threw out my ideas, and we both kind of looked at each other and said, so how are we going to do this with, you know, one room? And it got me to thinking about a couple of different things. First of all, maybe getting a nice little computer workstation downstairs, maybe nestled into one of the corners or maybe underneath the windows in the library. And the reason for that is basically because this is, as I record this, this is probably the first time in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, that I've been up on the third floor in my office actually working. Most of the time I'm digging out my laptop and trying to clear some space downstairs. And truth of the matter is, it's hard to actually get stuff done when you're sitting at the coffee table kind of crouched over it. It's not horrible for posture. It makes me feel awful after I spent a night doing it. And I'm just more productive if I have a desk down there, because I kind of commandeered this one kind of small desk that we have, put it into a corner in the living room, and it actually worked, because I can be there watching Jordan, holding Lucas, whatever, and actually kind of get some stuff done. I can see, you know, in a couple of years afterwards, when the kids are kind of self-sufficient, needing to be able to lock myself away in an office again. But for the next couple of years, you know, I could definitely use a desk down there. And I think the other thing is that we'd like to be able to have a desk down there so that when the kids are older, that would be their work area. That would be when they're on a computer, they're working on it in the library. And I mean, that's partly because we don't necessarily want them kind of like burrowing away in their rooms, and partly because I think in today's day and age, it's important to know what your kids are surfing out on the net. I think too much of the world, too many parents, especially in this country, just kind of ignore what their kids do online. And I think you got to pay attention to that. You don't want to necessarily be big brother and make them feel like they don't have any privacy, but you need to know what they're doing, just like you need to know who they're hanging out with and who they're talking to on the phone. I think this is just common sense for raising kids. But in the here and now, the other thing that I was thinking about as I was kind of looking around downstairs is there's not a heck of a lot of me there. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we've got down there, we've got some Ansel Adams prints up, which are kind of like both Sue and mine's tastes. And we've got a bunch of other stuff that really leans more towards Sue. I mean, some of the nicer furniture we have, like a jelly cupboard, you know, that's stuff that Sue really wanted. And, you know, aside from, like, my Xbox and maybe this little corner desk, I don't really have, like, any artwork down there that says, hey, Ken lives here too. Now, if you go to the third floor, there's posters everywhere, but, you know, downstairs, not so much. So I was thinking of, well, I'm questing for tasteful geek stuff that I can include in the remodeled rooms. And by what I mean by tasteful is, you know, I've got my movie posters, but that's not quite what I'm looking for. I was thinking something more along the lines of maybe book covers or magazine covers, which got me to Analog Science Fiction and Facts website, where they've licensed a bunch of their 1960s and 1970s covers via a place called Vinyls Art. And it's actually pretty cool. You know, they've got a lot of really nice retro prints, you know, that kind of 60s sci-fi. They had this awesome cover for Frank Herbert's Dune, one of his, I'm assuming it's one of the novellas or an excerpt from one of the Dune books. And I thought, oh, this is awesome. And then I thought, giant sandworm, kids, they're not going to go for this. But, you know, I'm browsing through there, so that's definitely one of my lead contenders. But I'd also love to find a place, and this has been a quest of mine for a while now, I'd also like to find some place that sells book covers as posters. I mean, I'm thinking specifically of stuff like the covers from Stephen King's Dark Tower series, Larry Nevin's Ringworld, you know, any of the classics, really. And I have never been able to find a place that sells posters of book covers. So if anybody knows of a place, let me know, because I don't know if I would necessarily use them on this project, but I could definitely see getting one for my office at work. And, you know, if I can find a nice cover that Sue likes, it may end up downstairs. So that's what I'm thinking on the whole geek design thing. I'm really looking forward to, it's going to be a lot of work to remodel the downstairs, but I think it's ultimately really going to be worth it, because it's going to make the whole house feel, well, just a little bit more homey.
Hi, this is Mick Bradley,
Ray Lamond,
and Chris Miller. We're from the House of the Harping Monkey, the online fantasy tavern for gamers and fans of fantasy, myth, and geek culture.
If by some small chance the stuff that they serve you in those other fantasy taverns isn't spicy enough or out there enough for you, you might want to consider asking your friendly servers,
that would be us,
for a bottle of Misfit Brew.
It's not for everyone, to be sure, but if you're one of those rarefied folks who thinks maybe, just maybe, you're not sure, but you think we actually go somewhere when we dream, or perhaps that flash of movement you saw at the corner of your eye in the woods last evening was maybe a fairy?
Or if you just like geeky essays.
Or if you wonder if, on some mystic, collective, subconscious level, Middle Earth was real, or you actually think that maybe there's something to the Harping Monkey motto, myth is truth.
Or if you just like geeky essays.
If you're not necessarily a sucker for every paranormal, preternatural, new age claim that's out there, but you can't help but wonder if maybe, just maybe, there are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in our philosophies.
Or if you just like pretentious Shakespearean references.
Then you might like a taste of Misfit Brew.
So come visit us at the Harping Monkey Tavern at harpingmonkey.com. Your first pint of brew is on the house.
Actually, they're all on the house, aren't they?
Okay, so even better. Misfit Brew, a podcast from the House of the Harping Monkey. Available at harpingmonkey.com, iTunes, and lots of other fine podcasty places.
Sláinte!
So, on Sites of Note this week, well, it's not actually Sites of Note this week, it's Vlogs of Note. A couple weeks ago, I posted that I was looking for geek vlogs, and vlogs, for those of you who don't know, are video podcasts, or vidcasts, or whatever you want to call them, but basically the whole idea is that they're internet video, stuff that you can download in an aggregator. I personally do it in iTunes, and, you know, they're internet shows, kind of like podcasts, only with video. And I found some cool ones. A couple of them were recommended to me by people. A couple of them, as were mentioned in Radioactive number 35, I still need to queue up and watch. But I did actually, I was surprised by the number of vlogs that are out there and the number of good vlogs that are out there. And there's a reason for that, which I didn't realize at the time. It has to do with something called Tech TV. Now, I actually never got to see Tech TV, although I have heard many legends of it. Legends that were passed down from my friend Lance Miller, who would tell me the tales of watching it on TV and his wife actually joining him to watch it. I mean, guys, this was a tech TV channel that appealed to women, in addition to your normal geek guys. And that's so cool. I mean, that's just amazing. And just, you know, not even geek women, you know, just regular mainstream women. I mean, that's just amazing. Alas, it is no more. Tech TV ended up getting merged with G4. And, yeah, I don't get G4 either, so all of this is just, you know, literally legend. I've never seen a single episode of Screensavers or any of the other shows that were on Tech TV. But what I have seen is a whole bunch of vlogs that have arisen from the ruins of Tech TV, featuring hosts that were on one Tech TV show or another. And that's all accidentally, because I went looking for geek podcasts, and as I was putting my show notes together, I'm like, okay, who are these hosts? And I realized, hey, wait, this guy was on Tech TV, and oh, wait, she was on Tech TV, and the wind-up being that three of my favorite vlogs are featuring folks who were formerly on Tech TV. But enough about that. On to the vlogs. First one, Command N. This is a pretty cool show. I really like it. It's got fun tech news and tips, and features Mike. Oh, here we go, folks. Here's where Ken gets to butcher all the names. Mike Lazaria, Brian McKennahy, Jeff MacArthur, and Amber MacArthur, all of whom have, of course, varying experience with tech, video, and Tech TV / G4. Topics that they've included on the vlog include what's new in tech, web picks, which is their favorite sites of the web, tech tips, basically how-tos and demos, hot stuff where they review products, Insight, which talks about web-related development tips, Spotlight, where they have interviews and special guests, Inbox, which is viewer mail, feedback, and questions. Each show lasts about 15 to 25 minutes, and really makes for some great morning TV. Basically, the whole reason why I started doing the vlog thing was, first, I don't have a TiVo. Long story as to why I don't have a TiVo, but sufficiently, suffice it to say, I don't have a TiVo. So, there's not a lot on it 3 in the morning or 5 in the morning when I'm getting up to feed Lucas. So I thought, I'll go out, I'll find some vlogs, I'll watch them, and this will provide me, you know, I can do more than just kind of sit there, because, you know, it's wonderful to be sitting there with your baby looking into his eyes as he, you know, has his bottle, but, and there's that wonderful bonding experience. But you know what, guys, it gets kind of old after a couple of weeks, and, you know, it's a loving, lovely experience. I don't want it to seem like I don't love my kids, but, you know, when you're up at 5, sometimes it takes just that little bit more to get you going. And between my morning coffee and my morning tech, I'm good to go. So, anyway, Command N is a cool show. Really like it. Hosts are entertaining, and I think I mentioned this before, but if I didn't, it's published weekly, so that's probably the only downside to it, is that although I have a backlog of shows to work through, you know, the new ones aren't coming in quite as fast as I'm consuming old shows. Anyway, you can check it out at commandn.typepad.com. Next up, we got Dig Nation, which is hosted by Kevin Rose and Alec Albrick, both of whom were former co-hosts of Screensavers on G4 Tech TV. And it's a good show. It's basically 40 to 50 minutes of them sitting on a couch with their laptops, drinking beer, talking about the top tech stories that showed up on dig.com. So yeah, you end up with a really eclectic mix of news on this particular vlog. Recent stuff that they've covered included the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trailer, the DS Opera browser in action, which I thought was pretty cool as somebody who owns a Nintendo DS, and talk about Yahoo's unrestricted MP3 downloads. Published weekly, and you know, it's just it's a fun podcast. The only downside to it is that it is kind of long at 40 to 50 minutes. I haven't actually made it through a single podcast, at least in one sitting, but you know, the first 20 minutes have been great. And I'm slowly working my way through the rest of the shows. You can check them out at www.revision3.com/dignation. And of course, as always, you know it. The links will be in the show notes. Next up, we got DLTV, which I believe stands for Digital Life TV, which is an amusing tech news show with the standard news desk format. The latest show had a very amusing techno bunny, which is basically this little interactive bunny, this interactive wireless bunny that would sit on your desk and move when you got IM'd by somebody. So it would let you know what was going on by either like moving its ears or speaking the text or playing a sound. And it was really amusing to see this thing doing its thing during the show, because one of the cool things about this show is that it is broadcast live. You can check it out on their website as it's happening, so you can actually send in messages while they're on the air, which is, you know, different for the whole podcast vlog cast thing. It's hosted by Patrick Norton and Robert Herron, which, yeah, you guessed it, they are also screensaver/tech TV survivors. This particular one is sponsored by Ziff Davis, or hosted by Ziff Davis. I wasn't exactly sure what their relationship was, because the website kind of, well, sucked. But I thought it was a pretty cool show, and I've been enjoying watching it. I'm slowly, like it with all these podcasts, going back through the archives. Now, next up, we got Geek Brief TV, which is 4 to 5 minutes, it features 4 to 5 minute segments hosted by Callie Lewis, and it describes itself as fast, fun, fresh, and flirty. And that about sums it up. Callie is definitely cute and perky, and, you know, it's definitely makes for I don't want to keep saying fun, because all these podcasts are fun, right? But, you know, this is one that I usually start my day off with, because usually Callie is fairly excited about the news, and like I said, at 5, it helps to have somebody who's enthusiastic in front of you, rather than a baby who's crying because he's hungry. So, anyway, the vlog talks about tech toys and gadgets, and like I say, it makes for a really great morning podcast. I think this combined with Command N is really just a great way to start your day, and then mixing in DLTV and Dignation as needed. Another vlog I'm enjoying is Geek Entertainment TV, and it has absolutely nothing to do with tech TV. Yeah, see, there had to be a couple, right? This thing has random geek culture news, and it features stuff like nerd salons, robo games, battles between robotic vacuum cleaners. Really just cool, different, offbeat kind of stories that really kind of delve into geek culture. And I loved the one on nerd salons, because this was out on the West Coast, and maybe this just needs to be a West Coast or big city kind of thing, but I love the idea of a nerd salon. You know, the idea of a bunch of geeks getting together to talk tech, you know, battle their robotic creations, drink coffee, have a beer, whatever. It's just a fantastic idea, and, you know, if I didn't have kids, I think I'd try and organize something like that, because that's just cool. And if I could come up with a way of doing it that would be really simple, I think I'd do it even though I have kids. It just strikes me as being an interesting idea. And, you know, with stuff out there like Make Magazine and, you know, just all these kind of outlets for creative geek think, yeah, a nerd salon just seems like a fun idea. And plus, you know, I'm in the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania. We've got a gazillion colleges here. I mean, literally, we've got, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 colleges. There's got to be enough nerds in the Lehigh Valley to support something like a nerd salon. You know, maybe not, you know, every month, but, you know, quarterly? I don't know. If you're in the Lehigh Valley and you're interested, send me an email at nuketown@gmail.com. Who knows? Maybe we'll get something going.
Warning. The following information is classified top secret. Well, okay, that's not true, but we think it's cool just to tell you that. The subject of this dossier is Random Signal, a podcast produced from an underground super ultra mondo secret facility located somewhere in the Durham, North Carolina area of the mid-Atlantic United States. Its host is Jason Adams, codename Kryptonaut. Called by some as a rebel, a geek, and a spitting image of Jane from Joss Whedon's Firefly. Random Signal is a podcast for the independent musician, offering a platform for music too good for the mainstream music industry. More data can be obtained on the Random Signal at randomsignal.com. It is your mission to fill your podcatching client with many episodes of Random Signal, a podcast that is so totally Airwolf that Ernest Borgnine is starting up a Backstreet Boys tribute band just so he can get an interview on it. Subscribing to Random Signal is your first priority. End of file.
So here is where I was going to have my long-promised review of George R.R. Martin's A Feast for Crows. But alas, the show runneth long, and I really don't want to go past 30 minutes. So what I'm going to do is bump that to Radioactive number 37. I actually have the show notes gun, guys, so it is coming. I don't know how eagerly you are awaiting it, but I've been promising it for a long time, so the damn thing is going to end up in the podcast eventually. The other thing I want to review is Midnight Syndicate's Out of Darkness. I have a review copy of the CD. This is basically a best-of album, pulling from a bunch of their stuff from across the years. And if you don't know, if you're not familiar with them, the most recent thing I did by them was, or reviewed by them, was The 13th Hour. They also did the Dungeons & Dragons soundtrack, the soundtrack for the game, not the movie. And generally, they've done some really good stuff. A lot of it's horror, a lot of it is oriented towards gaming. And I just need to sit down, pick the tracks I want to review, and then email them for permission. They've already been very receptive, so hopefully we'll be doing that around about the third week of August. And, well, I don't know what else I'm going to be doing. I guess I'll make it a surprise. I got some other ideas in mind. I'm planning on doing a show on geek fitness, which has been kind of percolating in the back of my brain. I just need to put down on paper. I'm also going to be doing a segment on girls and gaming. My daughter's getting older, and she started playing with the Nintendo DS, and it's kind of interesting to see the way she plays with video games as opposed to the way boys play with video games. And just the fact that she's playing video games is interesting based on, you know, the stereotypes that, you know, girls have to suffer through when it comes to gaming. So, yeah, you can look to that. If you have any thoughts on any of those topics, please let me know about them, because, you know, I'm always starving for feedback. You can send them to me at nuketown@gmail.com. Audio comments would be great if you have some insights into girls and gaming. Fantastic. So, you know, I'm great to have some comments from, you know, dads with girls who game, moms with girls who game, moms who game. I think it's a good topic. It's one that kind of gets kicked around in the tech press occasionally, but you know, I'm just seeing it from a different angle now that I'm actually a dad. So let me know what you think. You can Skype me. My user account is Skype, and I promise that this week I will even fire it up for an hour or two. And you, of course, can post comments to the show notes by going to www.nuketown.com, clicking on the link, and creating an account and posting your notes. We've had some good comments on previous shows, so I'd like to keep the ball rolling.